panel talking about food chain sustainability will be Patrick Webb, who's the Dean for Academic Affairs and Professor at Tufts University in the United States of America, as well as Jorgen Schlund, thank you, the Deputy Director General of National Food Institute, Technical University of Denmark, and former Director, Department of Food Safety and Zoonoses at World Health Organization, Switzerland. We'll begin with Patrick.
Thanks so much. Good morning. I'm very glad Didier Sonnet pointed out that our brains are suboptimal. I thought it was just mine this morning. Now, no pictures. I would wish I could follow up with lots of pretty pictures. But I am going to start with a quote that I think is appropriate to the issues that we're dealing with. Now, the brain to society idea is it's a complex idea. The issues we're dealing with are extremely complex. And it's not necessarily always helpful to simplify. We need to understand what are the appropriate tools to measure the complexity, and we need to understand that the solutions to the complexity we're dealing with are not always going to be simple. They are themselves going to be complex, and we have to deal with that. Now, I'm going to complement Didier's presentation and drill down further, a little further, on the implications for policy making. Now, last week there was a crisis meeting, pun intended, in Rome to deal with another world food price crisis. Not all of you may have noticed. Certainly 3 years ago, we all know there was a global food price crisis that caused a lot of panic, a lot of consternation around the world. And this summer, there's been actually a very similar spiking of the prices of certain commodities, particularly wheat, and a few other commodities, leading to yet more consternation and this rather comforting statement from last Friday that, don't worry, there is no impending food crisis. Now, I'm glad to hear that. That is very comforting. But what matters to me is that it's not so much an issue of food crisis that we really should be focusing on here. It's the food price crisis. They're not the same. Both 3 years ago, the last crisis was driven as much by policy choices and policy reactions, actually driven as much by fear as by fact, than by what was really happening in the food markets themselves, let's say. There are policy choices, biofuels support is just one of them, on the input side, but reactions to what was perceived as a problem matters a great deal. Now, 3 years ago, the fear was not around falling output, but around falling stocks globally. Really, what triggered the crisis last time around was a concern that global stocks in food had collapsed, in inverted commas. Not that output was down. In fact, there was very little reduction in supply. In fact, total availability was pretty much neutral, but prices increased dramatically. This year, stocks have been rebuilt. It wasn't fear about stocks around the world. It was fears about falling supply, falling output, rather, the serious drought in certain parts of the world. But it hasn't had a major impact on total supply, but price increased nevertheless. Processes different, outcomes more or less the same. But all of this has been happening in the context of record output in terms of food production globally. The world has never produced more food than it is producing today. And yet we are seeing increasing volatility around the price of that food, which suggests that focusing just on food supply may be missing some of the point here. But the issue is, how do governments respond to the facts, and how do they respond to the perceptions around those facts? It matters a great deal. Now, volatility, not inherently bad, but it is problematic. It's problematic clearly for developing country consumers who are facing lots of budgetary constraints with food prices leaping all over the place. It's problematic for small farmer producers who are also net consumers in many instances, not sure what to invest in, where to put their investments, and of course policymakers themselves not entirely sure where to put their investments. Now, if a problem looks and smells like food, then a lot of people suggest, well, then the solution has to be in food. And yes, it's important to grow more food. We need to grow more food. But maybe that's not necessarily the solution to the volatility problem, and it's not the only role for agriculture. Now, agriculture, investing in agriculture, and I'm going to focus mainly on agriculture here, but it's links to health and nutrition also. Investing in agriculture in developing countries, or in all countries, has been a major engine of economic growth. It's part of what transforms economies. But the paradox is that as transformation proceeds economically, the relative role of agriculture in that economy and in the continued growth declines. And it's been known for a long time that as agriculture grows faster, its decline in relative terms increases. So this is a little bit of a paradox for developing country policymakers in particular, who are told, look, you really, really should invest in agriculture. The question is, what kind of agriculture and for how long? The key point is choice. So as agriculture declines as a share of GDP, its role in the economy, do you support your agriculture? Or do you shift that investment, do you shift that support out of agriculture to something else? Or do you balance the two? This graph, based on data over 25 years for 29 developing countries across three continents, looks at the impact of policy support that favors agriculture or not favors agriculture in terms of its impact on stunting, child undernutrition, so being too short for your age, the long-term metric for undernutrition. So we know that poverty reduction reduces undernutrition. That's been long understood. What this is showing is that in the context of economic growth, support for agriculture seems to accelerate the reduction in stunting. So there is a positive outcome for supporting your agriculture, at least at a certain point in time. So for governments in Ethiopia, Haiti, Nepal, you name it, the message seems to be, well, invest in agriculture. You're doing it. It's a great job. But of course, inevitably, it's not that simple. It's a bit of a double-edged sword. What you see along with the decline in stunting is, of course, the rise in obesity, and we're talking about rural obesity, not just urban obesity. This isn't just about the shift of population to urban areas and the dietary change. What we're seeing is a very rapid increase in child obesity in rural areas of developing countries. But it's more complex than that. Those countries favoring agriculture seem to be showing a steeper increase, not just in the decline in stunting, but also in the increase in obesity. So where does that leave the policymaker? In a very difficult position, it's not entirely clear why the crossover happens at a particular point in time. It's not particularly clear if, obviously, if a single policy response can be the solution to this kind of complexity. Again, much of this obesity is rural. And the result over time across the same countries in the same period is if you lag diabetes outcomes based on prior levels, prevalence rates of obesity, what you see is the dramatic health implications of obesity leading to chronic disease, which are then going to force decisions to be made by the health sector, not just the agriculture sector. So really, what I've been trying to say here is that we are clearly dealing with complex interactions across food systems, the complexity is within the sector itself, not just across sectors. Single policy choices, be they investment choices or responses to perceived problems around that sector, are going to have knock-on effects across sectors and within your own domain. We have to communicate differently to policymakers. I mean, we have one donor coming in to Ethiopia say, well, look, you have to grow more food. It's quite clear, just grow more food. They leave, and then another donor comes in the door and says, yes, yeah, but not that kind of food. That kind of food promotes obesity, and this is the good food. And they leave, and then the next donor comes in and says, no, agriculture, that's part of the problem. We shouldn't be focusing on agriculture. We need to be focusing your investments in healthcare, in education, and other things. Let's change their behaviors. Let's not deal with the causes of the problems. And then they leave, and another one comes in and says, well, yeah, I actually don't know anything about agriculture, but I can tell you lots about health. And the government counterparts that are facing this revolving door of donors and developed country experts are left quite confused, let's just put it that clearly. What worries me is that systems of volatility appears to be increasing, particularly in relation to food prices, but it's not only that. And so these developing country policymakers are not just dealing with the same old problems. They're now being faced with this new problem of volatility, which simply means uncertainty. And that what they choose to do in response to volatility also adds fuel to the fire. So the closing of markets, not just in Russia this summer, but the closing of markets last 3 years ago during the crisis by Indonesia, Thailand, and other producers of rice, let's just as one example, those are adding to the uncertainty. The policy response to volatility is part of the problem, and transparency and more access to information is absolutely needed. But it also means that we need to be clearer and therefore more specific around our policy recommendations, both on the donor side as much as anything else, in terms of it's not just about policy support for agriculture. It's not just about investing in health. It's certain kinds of agriculture. It's not this, it's maybe that. So we need to come much more clearly with a tailored message, which kind of agriculture. So is the problem really supporting the wrong kind of agriculture or the wrong kind of support for agriculture? This is complex. It can't be distilled into very simple messages like grow more food good, grow more food bad. We need to be able to understand each other more, and here I'm just echoing each of the last three speakers, understand each other more to be able to communicate better with a single voice. We need, to go back to H.L. Mencken, neat, plausible solutions that are right. Thank you.